Come gather around. Thanks for listening to another episode. And yes, this is actually actually kind of funny, even for me. But even so, I gotta say it anyhow. Because I feel like I rolled a natural one. No, I'm kidding. Thanks for listening to another Edward review. This particular episode is definitely a D&D thing, but it's not the Legend of Vox Machina. No. As the title suggested, this is our Dungeon & Dragon episode. And no, I am not talking about the one back in the late 1990s. even though that was a phenomenal start with Justin Whalen and Marlon Wayans and... okay, so... This particular one had Justin Smith, Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and I'm just not doing the whole spoiler thing because this has been out for quite a while. But then again, I gotta say my own piece about this one because this was a phenomenal movie to not only introduce people to Dungeons and Dragons, but to give an idea, like, there is a script or a idea you can do with, you know, classic gaming. So, of course, when we are introduced to these characters, we're introduced to them through a flashback in a way, which gives us an idea of where our characters are standing point between one another in this whole ordeal. So, of course, yeah, we have the bard and then the barbarian, which is definitely Dungeons & Dragons classes, as well as many other things. And then we're introduced to the rogue, the wizard, sorcerer. There is a variety of classes right there, but even so, this particular film has met a lot of classic D&D or Dungeons & Dragons reference, to even to its own standalone reference of the animation. We'll explain to that one later. But even so, the journey of this structure in the film does feel like any other critical role in a way, but at the same time it's like itself, it does its own structure of how to word this in, because normally if you do a Dungeons and Dragons motion, you literally find yourself doing a day by day play, which is like journeys on ends, or just a split, like, 2 or 3 moments of them traveling. And thanks to our Critical Role reference and many of Dungeons and Dragons related to campaigns, to structures of MMO. Yes, I'm saying that because it is based off Dungeons and Dragons, so judge me. But to even see this particular style right here play out in motion, it is like a standard, you know, film, if you will, but also gives us a lot of reference, a lot of like guilds, and a lot of Easter eggs of certain, like, not only items, but at the same time certain classes inside Dungeons & Dragons, which normally could be cast as, you know, characters inside of a film. But even so, with the reference to the way that this movie made, anyone who wasn't a Dungeons and Dragons fan will now probably start spiking up the books, copies of books, or said books of leaks of sorts of some kind, or homebrew. Yeah, I'm saying, and you know, everyone knows it. It's no lie. There's ways to get copies of it without having to, you know, do anything weird or anything like that. But even so, this movie did give us like a lot of ideas what may or may not happen, what have been either a cantrip cantrip, or a hidden hindsight of how a character is. The visualization for the characters, it was quite amazing, especially some wonderful Easter eggs of certain ones. Yes, you know which ones I'm going to be talking about. Of course, it is kind of interesting, but at the same time, it's like it's not new per se. It's something to look forward to, as well as to the many things that's happening to it, you know. And it's quite fine. It's okay. It's how it's like worked in the script. I find it a little like befuddled with that, but even so, the style that each character delivered, it was quite amazing. And to hear that this was predestined, so to speak, in itself, it is quite remarkable to have not only the cast of Dungeons & Dragons to, you know, make the movie, but it's also literally Dungeons & Dragons played out on this. So, yeah, it is quite remarkable and exciting to know that. So, to alliterate some of the characters on this one. Of course, we are introduced with a band of red wizards that literally go against, you know, the whole world. And in itself, it's like it's kind of funny, but at the same time, it's like it's weird, you know. We also get a reference of Neverwinter, which not only it's actually a place in the Dungeons & Dragons realm, it's also a name of the video game, which if you play on consoles or learn about it on a D&D Dungeons & Dragons campaign guide, this is definitely something to find yourself, you know, curious, but at the same time, like, wondering what else can you learn about this whole, you know, world that's been back in the 80s. So it is quite remarkable to see some of these things come out, but at the same time, it's kind of weird to know that there are certain things that's in here, and it's kind of funny. The one character that gave us the wonderful visuals was a druid named Doric, and she is literally like, you know, one of those many druids who not only transforms into many other things, but even so, she's a tiefling druid. So it kind of gives us an idea of how remarkable her skill is, but at the same time, it's like, okay, this is something totally new and exciting. And I find this very backstory like for me, but when I see Simon, the sorcerer, when he tried to put on the helmet and all that, it's like, it's basically like seeing someone trying to relive why he is what he is by putting on that helmet. It is kind of like a structure where he comes from, and it's just like, it's totally like understandable, you know. There's many other things that are happening throughout this time, but even so, their travels have seen many flurries of things. So it is quite remarkable to just, you know, see these things go through. Also, yes, I was quite amazed when Doric transferred into the owlbear, which is like, yeah, that's a common Dungeon Dragon go through, because that could be someone else just end up being the to being the creature that we all need. Like and I'm taking definitely taking a reference from Critical Role here. It's like Chetney turning into a werewolf. And if you haven't seen any latest campaign, I highly recommend it to see on YouTube, because that is quite a amount of doing so. Seeing some of these characters who are like Palutena and all that, there is a lot of huge reference, and I do apologize, because I really would love to talk about the movie, but even so, outside the movie, there was a lot of like fine points right here to talk about. And even so, how one story almost collides with one another helps propel our standard of how the story is. So yes, we have one story that has not only the bard and the barbarian trying to go back home to get the bard's daughter, but at the same time, like, you can't forget that you also teamed up with a con man, a rogue, who not only, you know, decides to get the mystical item that you like fork over, which is this tablet of reawakening, to try to put one wrong back, but also at the same time you hand them that one key point that you want them to not have, and having this amateur sorcerer like being geeky and, you know, one of those characters who really needs to get be rid of in the whole thing, to come out at the end of the movie like being this grand master, it is quite remarkable to see that. And not only that, to see the actual fights that are going along with it, to be honest, this is like almost if you had a battle and you had to do a lot of dice rolls, which luckily we don't get too much of that reference. We probably have one reference of that maybe, but even so, to see that happening as well as going against the other creatures that are in the lore, like the big red fat dragon that's hoarding the treasure below, in itself it's quite, you know, it's quite funny, but at the same time it's like it's a goal, it's literally the goal in any campaign, to have like, what's your reasoning to go to this structure, why are you going to this area, what are you expecting to do. Those are things that happen in a standard campaign that could take many of seasons. We've learned that out of any campaign of Dungeons and Dragons, usually takes like a year or two, or maybe like 5-6 months. It really depends on not only how to structure the storyline that you have with it, as well as how to, you know, pick and pull reference. That would be for the DM or the dungeon master involved with that. But the reference in the movie that I kept avoiding, but always wanted to go back to it towards the end, it's that part where they're in the Colosseum and they're against other groups of people. And one particular group, it was kind of like a colorful group, with a paladin, a sorcerer, a rogue, a barbarian, I think another barbarian, I think, could be, I don't know, and a ranger. That was actually the classic 80s version of Dungeons and Dragons, which we've seen in the animation, that literally depicts on a group of kids that goes onto this carnival ride and then get transported into literally the Dungeons and Dragons world, which is totally different than any other reference that we've seen, which in its style we would have seen this in the weird way different from other reference of other things. And even so, to see this particular film, we are seeing how, you know, the old structure, if you will, the old structure of how it looks like, to how everything is like determined on what it is and what it isn't, and to change how we've seen Dungeons & Dragons as a, you know, version that we've seen in Critical Role was something to not only speak of differently, but at the same time, like, we know that this is another version of another campaign that carries its own name. Ergo, this is not known as Dungeons & Dragons itself, it's just Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. Which, like any volume on their roster, it's like, it's always totally different from one another. Like, Dungeons & Dragons and such and such, or Destiny 2, or Destiny the Taken King, and such and such. It's basically key reference of knowing that these are introduction to not only new villains, but also new campaign in tales in the same island or land that they are in. So it is quite different and quite weird to even think about. But even so, this particular film that has been provided, it is enough said for how we are seeing the structure. Also, there is a lot of good, you know, reference and jokes of the campaign that is paying homage in this movie. So it is worth every single chance to see, as well as that this film literally, like, gave not only creators of the game, dungeon managers, and everyone, also us players, I dabbled the D20 once in a while, but even so, to see this being told in a live action movie, it is without a doubt an idea to actually have in a game. I'm not saying go ahead and pull together to get a Dungeons & Dragons pamphlet or whatever. I would just simply say watch a few Critical Role episodes, and from your determination on either do a campaign of your own or keep on researching Dungeons & Dragons, because this, back from the 80s, it was a remarkable kind of campaign to not only thought about, but also discuss, as not only a man who sees a lot of storyline with this, but a lot of different things that go along with it. So yeah, I'm going to leave you with that thought. But even so, thank you for listening. I hope you guys are doing quite well. Yes, this is just me ranting about the film that is not only visually awesome, but also at the same time, like, the storyline in itself was totally different from where I'm seeing it, and had a weird look at it a few times, even that mid-credit scene. So, until the next episode, I hope you guys are doing well, or doing quite okay, and until the next episode, you be good, be safe. Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode. Man, what a whirlwind of things happening. One, you can visit my Anchor page at anchor.fm/edcast20. where you can listen to my podcast in seven different podcasts, Spotify being one, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Castbox, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, where you can listen to not only the latest episodes, but some previous episodes as well. I also have, and believe it or not, a blog page now, edwardsreview2.wordpress.com. That is edwardsreview, all in one word, with the number 2.wordpress, WordPress.com, where you can read my blog postings as well as the latest episodes that I've been posting on there. Both these sites are amazing, and I do thank for not only the sponsors that helped me out put this together, but also thank you guys for reading and watching this stuff, or kind of listening to this stuff. I haven't done any video yet. So yeah, for Once again, for anchor.fm, edcast20 is my anchor page, as well as for edwardsreview2.wordpress.com for the blog posting. Thanks for visiting. See ya.